The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that reminds you that having kids is terrible until they grow up, and then it's a hell of a lot worse.
The movie that reminds you no matter what problems you're having in your relationship, a baby will fix it.
And the movie that convinced Steve Martin not to have children until he was 67 years old.
And even then, it was probably by mistake.
This is Parenthood. I'm Blockbuster Nostalgia.
I was born to make you happy. I think it's just my style. Everywhere I go, telling everyone I know, baby, I love to see you smile. Don't want to take a trip to China. Don't want to sail up the Nile.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia, the movie podcast that's counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And we're joined today by two very special guests.
Returning guests.
Returning guests. You know them, you love them, they're back on the podcast.
It's the Duncans.
Yay. Got Vincent and Andrea Duncan.
Hey Duncans, welcome back to the show, the podcast, the world, the universe.
Very appropriate because we're doing Parenthood today.
Uh-huh.
A movie about having a family and having kids.
Oh, yeah,
we're about
that.
To be parents. No, I'm just kidding. Fuck
don't,
that.
Don't mess around.
knock on
don't
all
jinx
the
yourself.
This isn't April 1st on Facebook.
You're not allowed to joke about that on April 1st.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Since it's May, whatever.
They all do it. All of them
it's
do it.
It's all free game now.
Yeah. No, this is we got on here four people who are not very much in tune with having children.
Yeah, we're all in our 30s.
Yeah.
Barely.
Barely, yeah.
We are not living our life.
We're all 30 years old exactly.
We're all 30. I actually am 30, so.
And none of us are super on board with the whole kids thing.
Yeah. And then we're like in the movie they're like 35, right? They're in that.
Yes.
Like
Steve Martin says he's 35.
Some of them are looking 40.
Oh, no, Steve Martin was like 42 when they made this movie.
Well, Steve Martin has been 42 since 1950.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
since
fair.
He was born.
He's still 42 now.
Yes, exactly.
Just all he did was now he plays a banjo.
Yeah, exactly.
Praises art, and then that's it.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Still 42.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same.
But yeah, I mean, since none of us really are that big into the idea of children, I think it's perfect for us to share our opinions.
Yeah, and talk about
parents.
This movie.
Yep.
About kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm so against having kids at this point in my life that I didn't even watch the movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a real unique experience here on Blockbuster Nostalgia. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know that typically we all watch the movie, then we talk about it.
Usually together, we get together, watch the movie,
yeah.
And then we talk about it.
That's not tonight, because
yeah,
Vince decided.
Vince just showed up right now.
He just popped in and was like, I'm in on this shit now.
We're like, give this man a mic.
Give this man a mic and a drink and let him loose.
I'm going to encourage you that you ask as many questions as you can. Anytime you're confused, yeah, we will elaborate on everything that happened.
So if the editing gets a little choppy, it's just us explaining for 5 minutes yeah, a scene in the movie.
It's going to be like a 5-hour Q&A session on the movie Parenthood.
That's right.
So then what happened?
And then?
So this movie back in 1989, it breaks the 100 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 million, 47,830. $1 million.
That's right. And at least according to the trivia, it was just shy of that, and then they re-released it to push it over the hump.
And then it broke the 100.
Yeah, but yeah,
the
first
budget was $20 million, so
very successful
Shazam.
Movie.
Wow.
Right, that's the reason that's why Steve Martin then would later appear in like Cheaper by the Dozen and Father of the Bride.
Yeah, oh,
like
for
all
sure
of those like parent-y movies.
It's when he made the step up from like
up really up.
Oh yeah, that's true.
he made a step.
Yeah, yeah. He made a step.
He took a step. Yes.
Kind of like successful dickhead to like, oh, he's a dad now. He's a family guy now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a family man. He's not Planes, Trains, and Automobiles just telling a lady to fuck off.
Right, right. He's no longer King Tut on SNL.
Yeah,
he's now
exactly.
King Dad on your
Father of the Bride.
Father. Father guy.
And your father guy. On that lovable sitcom, yeah,
Your father guy. Oh, that's a good sitcom. I'm gonna do that sitcom where it's just your father guy, and it's just 25 minutes of a dad going like, I'm disappointed, actually, I'm very proud of you.
And like the music kicks up. The music
and everyone hugs. And yeah, it's all it's going to be.
I think you're that would be successful for a lot of reasons. Like, people just need a father type guy to let them know that they're proud of them.
Exactly.
All the fatherless children out there looking. Yeah. Someone to look up to every
week. Like, berate them for 20 minutes and then 2 minutes of like, I'm actually really proud of you.
And then season two, it's the exact same scripts, but now the dad's a black guy.
In
season three, it's a Mexican guy, and so on and so forth. So we just hit
every demographic gets hit.
Does does the first episode of every season start with the dad coming back and being like, "I told you I was just going out for cigarettes," and then it's just like everybody's like dream come true, you know?
Yeah. Oh. They're just like season two. They're just tackling like race issues, but they're still like all the white people playing them.
Oh yeah,
They're called black the whole time.
Yeah. Oh man,
if you change the names to the blacks,
really confused. Yeah. Like I don't understand what either is a parody. What's like what's happening?
It's like what Jack Black, not black. Is that allowed?
Jack White,
very white.
Very white. Yeah.
Oh my God, excessively white.
Yeah. Extremely pale, has never been in the sun.
No, it was in Detroit. There's no sun in Detroit. It's all just smog over
there. It's just smog and RoboCop.
And ashes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ashes of a great city that once was.
Rip Detroit.
It's getting rebuilt.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, New Detroit, RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop.
That was the whole thing of that movie, New Detroit. They get RoboCops because that. Where else do you test the RoboCop market?
I would watch the movie if I knew RoboCop had anything to do with it.
Yeah. RoboCop has everything to do with everything.
That's possible.
he's a law.
He is. I mean, Judge Dredd is the law.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So let's talk about this movie.
So directed by Ron Howard, who also we've talked about twice in Cocoon and Splash.
Third time appearance.
Yeah. He also helped write this movie.
Well, yeah. So the story credits, him and Brian Glazer and a couple other people all have story credits because it's sort of very loosely based on their own
experiences. Yeah, don't forget Babalu Mandel.
Of course. Babalu.
Babalu Mandel, one of my favorite names that I've ever fucking heard.
Of all time ever?
Yeah. Babalu? Sounds like a fucking song, that name.
I think it is a song, yeah.
That is a song. Yeah. That is a song in a dream that we all shared once.
Babalu.
Of Babalu.
He's also written a million fucking like rom-coms and like Parenthood. He did like Multiplicity.
It's weird that he has put his talents towards writing movies when clearly based on his name, he should be solving the world's like, he should bring the world peace.
Yeah, yeah. Or he should be like creating awesome salsa music or
something
exactly,
like that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like Sinbad.
Yes.
Like, what else were you going to do? Yeah. You do adventures or you do stand-up comedy. Like
that's
you get
it. There's no
in between. There's no in between on that.
You can't just be like a lawyer or something.
Yeah,
it
can't be the lawyer Sinbad.
Yeah. Like, oh, who's defending you in that case? Sinbad? No.
Yeah.
Get another lawyer.
Babalu goes against his God-given right to be a monkey trainer.
Right, yeah.
And that's perfect.
Becomes a screenwriter.
Yeah, yeah.
He writes Splash, Multiplicity,
Splash,
City Slickers.
Great movies.
Where the Heart Is.
That was a good one.
Recently, Tooth Fairy. You guys remember that one?
With The Rock?
The Rock.
I'm sorry, Dwayne Johnson.
Dwayne Johnson made The Rock a star.
Yeah, he was that unknown Dwayne Johnson. Made him a star.
Made him a star, the Tooth Fairy.
What a ridiculous concept. He's a Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, look at him. He's a Tooth Fairy. He's a giant muscle guy wearing wings and tights, and doesn't he wear a tutu? I'm pretty sure he wears a tutu.
He wears a tutu, yep.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Nothing funnier than a giant guy in a tutu.
Yeah, the description makes me laugh.
Could Babalu write The Jungle Book 2 where it's Mowgli meets his new little brother, Babalu?
I believe
that needs to happen.
Mowgli and Babalu, that sounds so perfect.
Yeah, I know.
The only question is Babalu a human or a tiny bear cub?
Oh, he's like Baloo's son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now, Baloo, that's a reverse thing. So, yeah. Baloo's kid has to go live in the human
village.
Mowgli has to take care of him.
Yeah.
Damn it, that's perfect.
Guys,
why is the Jungle Book 2 not that?
We need to write this.
It's like the urban book with the bear in the human civilization.
The urban book?
Yeah.
Jungle Book Part 2, urban book. Babalu. Also, Baloo was getting a lot of bear ass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So one of those.
He's a laid-back motherfucker.
Yeah, he didn't.
He doesn't care about anything, which means he was laying some pipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Those bitches were coming to him in his cave, yeah.
And then one day, Babalu shows up, And then, true to form, he's like, going to the human village now. Yeah. I got to eat some honey and
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. I saved this kid and we keep in touch. Yeah. Going,
Baloo probably just lost him. He was busy like eating ants and floating down a river.
Singing songs.
For like 8 hours.
And singing songs about eating ants and floating down the river. That is all he did. He
was just gone. Life. He wakes up. He's like, I should be sad, but.
Bare necessities.
Bare necessities.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's winter. I gotta go hibernate. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
I gotta eat a shit ton of food.
This honestly sounds like E.G. Saito's like animal persona right now. Yeah. It really does.
All right, so I may have based my life on a few lessons learned.
I was like, you had a child that you then threw off into fucking the wilderness.
I mean,
there's a possibility.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, you've been around for long enough.
I mean, I'm sure that baby didn't survive, so it's probably fine.
First of all, that child would have had to survive the abortion, which is already a miracle in itself.
Already unlikely. Yeah,
that already, the odds are already against that baby.
Yeah.
This is good so far about parenthood.
Yeah, we're definitely talking about the movie Parenthood.
Right. Well, you can relate now, apparently.
That's right.
The movie starts with just a fucking stress dream of mine, which is just having three kids at a, well, not of mine, but like, if I assume if you're a father or a mother, having three kids at a baseball game sounds like fucking hell. And it looks like fucking hell. They're carrying like all their shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's taking forever to get the kids in the car seats and stuff. And actually,
It starts with a stress dream of Steve Martin when it's not even a stress dream. It's like a weird flashback dream. But one that he is self-aware during, his dad takes him to a baseball game.
And then leaves him.
Leaves him with an usher. And he's explaining to the usher that his dad would do this once a year and just pay a random usher. And that this usher isn't a real person. He's just an
amalgamation.
Amalgamation. Thank you. You remember the Amalgam universe, right? Right, Vince?
Yeah. It's very...
Wolverine, Batman, Dark Claw.
Yeah, but with the Gundam wings in it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything in that universe.
This is a real thing. This is a real thing.
Sure it was.
It was an amalgamation of amalgam.
Dark Claw, real character. Look at him.
Yeah.
He was everything like an 8-year-old boy in 1991 would have wanted. He was Batman, but also Wolverine.
Yeah. That's what I used to do with my toys, just mash them together.
Yep. You just take off some arms, put them together. So anyways, he has this dream and then he wakes up and it's just, he's talking about how his dad was kind of a shitty dad, but he's going to be there for his kids. He's going to do everything he can to make sure their life is just perfect.
Yeah. And of course, his life is not perfect.
His life is not perfect. His kids suck.
It's
a fucking nightmare. His job. Because
he's too old now for his job.
And he's stressed out all the time.
His kids are fucked up. Like, the one kid is super emotionally messed up. And then he finds out that the teacher told him that he needs to be, like, held back or, like, put in a special class.
Special class. Yeah, he's taking
and
up too much
out.
Of the
he's
time.
He's like,
yeah.
Fuck that teacher.
Yeah.
And then he's like, at least they're not as bad as my sister's kids. And then it cuts to
the
sister's kid.
So the sister
is married to the most lovable human ever.
Oh, no. That's not the sister.
Oh, that's not the sister. You're right. No,
the sister is Edward Scissorhand mom.
Yeah.
And just professional mom in general.
Yeah, she's a single mom. Joaquin Phoenix's wife.
Diane Wiest. Diane Wiest. She is, her kid.
Joaquin Phoenix. Credited as Leaf Phoenix.
Leaf Phoenix.
First of all, that's insane.
That must be his real name. I mean, his brother was River.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Why did he change it to Joaquin?
He changed
Leaf
to Joaquin because
Leaf
sounds
like a girl
name.
Leaf is terrible.
Leaf is so much better, I think.
No.
Joaquin?
Has anyone heard of Leaf Erickson?
Leaf Garrett? Is that a guy?
That's, sure, I don't know.
I don't know.
He
probably played baseball in the 40s. Who knows?
No, it's those singers from the 80s, right?
Yeah. Was he?
Or is it Leif Garrett?
Yeah, Leif Garrett from Rush, right? No.
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 That's
no, they
Lee.
Were like child actors.
Oh,
yeah. You're thinking of Leif Phoenix.
Leif Phoenix.
No. All right. Let's keep talking. I will look this up.
But also, I feel like somebody watched this movie and they were like, Leif Phoenix, Keanu Reeves, what the fuck is going on with this movie? Like, all right, we'll change one of those names for the next one. Which, the next
Keanu.
One, not Keanu, because the next one was Bill and Ted.
Well, same year. Yeah, same year Bill and Ted made Keanu Reeves a star.
Also, in this movie, he's kind of playing that same character.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's just like a dumbass. Although, I feel like he's cooler in this because he's racing cars and shit.
Oh yeah.
And knocking up chicks. And taking sex pictures.
But he's also getting married.
Yeah. Right away, Vince. First 10 minutes.
Yeah, sex pictures.
He's taking sex pictures with the daughter.
Damn, I love Keanu even more now.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes of this movie gave me an abundance of reasons to add to my list to not have children.
Oh my God.
This entire movie is a fucking nightmare of not having
the
children.
The first 10 minutes, it was like, the one kid was throwing up. The single mom's got to deal with nudie pics from her daughter, like, and the boyfriend. Too much. It's like every parental nightmare.
Just like, crammed into just like 15 cramped. Minutes. Yes. Yeah.
Leif Garrett was a child actor. You guys can suck it.
I never said he was. No, yeah, I did say.
You did say.
Yeah, you're correct. But
it's fucking terrible now.
Google Leif Garrett's picture.
Yeah, it's rough.
Just look at his picture in Wikipedia.
It's like the worst version of Guy Fieri. With the beanie.
Anyway.
He's like, if somebody was like, what does the back of an old liquor store look like? If it was a human being. Yes. There you go, Leif Garrett is it, sir.
That's it's not wrong.
There will be a bandana, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
There will be 14 days of not shaving. For sure.
Yeah.
But still not keeping it trim.
No.
Yeah. Overweight. All that good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. The first like 15 minutes, it is shitty.
Oh, yeah. Things are bad.
It is.
But
hard.
Things actually, they're bad, but they're bad in not a catastrophic way.
No, it's just like hectic. Yeah. The grandma is staying with them. And then out of nowhere, the brother, Larry or whatever, shows up.
Yeah. So Steve Martin's brother shows up and he's a wreck.
He's got a son named Cool.
He's got a little black son named Cool.
He's got a little black son named Cool. He named him Cool because he's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah. He's
fucking
like,
terrible.
I'm going to come home and they're going to know that I'm cool. And you know how? Because I'm going to name my fucking kid Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, Cool. Get in there.
It's like one of those things, like, if you name your kid Cool and they don't live up to their name, like, you are just setting them up to be the butt of every
fucking joke. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I feel like
that's why I'm naming my son King of the Universe, because clearly that's not going to be a problem.
Exactly.
Anyway, Leif Phoenix was his own given name. Joaquin Phoenix is his birth name.
He changed his name to Leif?
And then he went back to Joaquin.
So
he's also like 12 years old in this. Who gave him the right to do that?
Yeah, you don't get to just pick your own
name.
I'm
pretty sure
kid.
You do when you're a movie star and your brother is River Phoenix.
No, I don't think Macaulay chose Macaulay. And he was way bigger than these
That's
guys.
That's true, actually. Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin, I'm surprised he didn't just change his name to Jack.
Yeah,
but I mean,
Jack
I just,
Culkin.
I just wonder if he did it to be more in line. So his siblings, River, rest in peace, Rain, Liberty, and Summer.
He definitely did that.
Oh, God.
So he must have,
and they,
like, said,
why did they name him Joaquin?
I don't know.
That's really weird. We're going off script here. Let's name this child Joaquin while we have the other elements over here.
The one time that they were not high.
Yeah. Is he the oldest, maybe?
No, River's older.
No,
River
was younger.
You said you heard the 911 tape and it said little brother.
No, River's River's older.
All right.
We're going to fact check.
Actually, yeah, by this time, by 89, River was already established, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. River was born in 70 and Joaquin was born in 74.
Oh, that's one for Graham.
Woo! I finally win one thing in my life.
Yay!
And it's meaningless.
Yeah. As most things that you win in life.
Exactly.
God, his sister is Liberty Mariposa Phoenix.
God, I just ran the fucking gamut.
That's fun.
That's rough. Don't do that to your kids.
Rain Joan of Arc Phoenix.
Holy shit. Wow.
I thought that you were gonna tip top of Liberty Mariposa.
No.
Rain Joan of Arc.
Summer Joy Phoenix.
Summer Joy.
Joan of Arc is not a middle name.
Rain Joan of Arc Phoenix.
Rain Joan of Arc.
Oh my God.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for any children's names, just look up the Phoenix.
Some great
suggestions.
If I ever have a kid, I'm going to name him like Stuart Joseph of Arimathea. Landine. That's his middle name is Joseph of Arimathea. You can't. If I ever had a kid, I would be really tempted.
Yeah, all these
to
people
name him something fucking crazy.
Oh, I would too, for sure. But yeah, all these people naming their kids John and not John the Baptist.
Yeah, like, fuck those
kids. Come in.
Yeah, they're missing out.
Yeah.
And just make it one word, the Baptist.
Yeah.
So it's just that's his actual middle name.
Jesus of Nazareth. Just really go for
Again,
it.
One word.
All these Jesuses out there.
Jesus of Nazareth.
There's got to be one Jesus out there whose middle name is Christ.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Jesus of Nazareth, Christ, Muhammad.
Just like run the
Buddha.
Yeah, just do all the whole. The
just
whole
make
shebang.
Sure you covered all yeah. bases.
14 names.
Yeah.
Just like a PC holiday sweater.
Yeah. That's one affront to all gods.
And then just like Lucifer in their side. I've just covered all bases. Just make sure.
You don't know. You don't know what happens afterwards.
His nickname is Balzabeth. Yeah,
exactly. Just trying to make sure everything's okay.
After the 16th name, no one's going to pay attention anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever in there.
If you would have kept going, one of his names is Jesus God. I mean, a Jewish God, because I don't know what the Jewish God's name is.
Yahweh,
it's
dude.
It's just God.
Yeah, but when I was naming him, I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
It's Yahweh or the highway. Like,
He is that he is and all that.
Back in the plot, more shitty parent stuff happens.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
A lot more shitty parent stuff happens.
Yeah, just it's a nonstop fucking shit show. Let's be honest. So, hey, actually, let's do a fun game. Vince,
guess
four bad parent things that happen in this movie.
Yeah.
I'm guessing children just have tantrums everywhere and just...
All right, children tantrums, sure.
Yeah, that's one. You're one for one.
Getting... unplanned pregnancy.
Oh, that's another one.
Good job.
Yeah,
right.
There you go. You still got this.
Alcohol or drug use? Is that something?
Actually, no.
Oh, what?
Actually, yeah.
That's just my family. Okay.
But there was addiction.
There was gambling.
There was gambling addiction. Yeah. So gambling close, addiction. So we'll give you half credit for that.
Half credit
one.
On that.
That's all true. Right. You got a 1989 movie that's PG-13. It's PG-13, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, drug use would have put it to R, maybe. Yeah.
You do see full child penis, which is
borderline.
Child very penis. Disturbing.
Borderline.
Baby, little baby penis.
Do I want to know?
It's the cutest little boy.
Full frontal little two-year-old pee-pee just hanging
out. Okay, two-year-old, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... You know, it's not a sexual thing.
No, it wasn't sexual. Weird.
It's just weird. You don't expect to pop in a movie and be like, oh, child penis.
Again, first 10 minutes.
Yeah,
he's just like a cowboy hat and just little dick out. Little wiener out.
Yeah.
Well, cowboy hat and his little like little gun holster.
The gun holster.
Yeah. And then
little wiener.
Just pee pee out. Wow. Okay, so guess the fourth or one another thing.
Yeah, another guess. Yeah.
Oh God, what else?
Because you're really good right now.
Yeah.
Just throw anything out there.
If you had children, what would be one of the things that would be terrible to deal with?
In existence. No.
Based on this movie, yes. Life.
I don't know. Have I ever run away at all? Or
no.
Yes, kind of. Actually, the girl does leave and live with Keanu Reeves for a couple of days.
Yeah, that's true. And Joaquin Phoenix tries to leave.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll give you credit on that one for sure. You're 3.5 out of 4 for not seeing it.
I'm going to go with Parenthood.
There was also other things where you're impressive. Just like thinking way too deep. Like, you know, the little girl who throws up on everybody.
Yeah.
Like that kind of shit really
freaks me out. Or just the kid that just headbutts.
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was the same kid with his little pee-pee out.
Yeah, that was the same kid.
Same pee-pee out.
He likes to hit shit with his head.
Yeah.
Super cute.
But as we learned from your family's example, maybe it's just because he needs glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so.
You never know.
My sister's daughter needed glasses and just found out. And she's like 3. I don't know. I probably shouldn't. I should know the age.
Your sister has a lot of kids.
Yeah, she's got a lot of kids. But they got her those like rubber glasses and stuff. And then my sister was like, oh, like the whole time she was bumping into stuff. And I thought she was just like dumb and clumsy. Turns out she's just not, no depth perception.
No depth
perception. Wow.
She just needed glasses.
So sometimes parents are just as bad, if not worse, than the actual children.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, she's like number 6. So by that point, you're like, whatever, just fucking run out and hit whatever you need to hit with your face.
Well, you know, and it's funny too because they reference that in the movie, and I've heard a lot about this kind of like first child, first pregnancy kind of situation,
like,
right?
Yeah, high strung and like super protective.
You do everything right, and then in the movie she actually says, and then by the third kid you just let them juggle knives, right? So I could only imagine by the 6th you probably just legitimately forget about them.
Oh yeah,
that's fair. Well, and I also
you're like
know-
you oldest. It's your responsibility now.
A lot of stuff changed. Yeah, a lot of stuff can change. Like my grandfather had 12 kids.
Yeah.
And like the way he raised the first couple versus the way he raised the last few, it's like a completely different human being.
Yeah, exactly. So, same thing. Yeah,
because I think at that point, I mean, one, at that point, like you said, you're just completely exhausted. But hopefully you've also learned a few things.
You've learned.
Yeah. To not care so much about...
Like, sometimes to not care so much or, like, you know, not to maybe, like, beat them senseless or whatever. Maybe. I mean, or maybe beat them more senseless.
You know, there's more possible. Beatings as they come, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and then I think by the time the, you know, 10th and 11th kid come around, you're like, well, I've kept the other ones alive, so
yeah.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you I can do even less.
Yeah.
And he still survives.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, well, it's like, he's up on myself, yeah.
Oh. Why am I trying so hard?
What was the actor? Ah, I can't remember now which the actor. I think it was Bruce Willis, who at a certain point, like during the Sixth Sense years, talked about he was trying to do as little as humanly possible and still get the stuff across. Like, so he was
like
just
acting?
Acting wise.
Well, Bruce Willis now does that.
Yeah, no. Well, now he just collects paychecks.
Yeah.
But at that time, yeah, he was legitimately, from an acting point of view, being like, I just want to, like, pull it inward and just have as much, like, going on without showing it.
We talked about this before. It's like you become super big for one thing, and then they keep making you do that one thing until you just
Harrison
become a
Ford.
Caricature of yourself. And then at that point, you have to, like, bring it back.
Exactly. Even our Lord and Savior suffered from that somewhat. I'm talking, of course, about Sylvester Stallone.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm talking about Sylvester Stallone.
Obviously. I was like, Beyonce?
Who got it?
We all just said different things.
Yeah. Don't be so vague. Have you never listened to the podcast?
Don't be so vague on this.
It always means one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for when it means Jesus.
I mean, for those people who are into
Those people. I'm sorry, Jesus. No, but like Sylvester Stallone very much got typecast at a certain point, and then he does like Copland and stuff like that to kind of break out of that.
And Stop or My Mom Will Shoot?
Clearly,
is that what we're talking about?
Yep, we're talking about that classic movie, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot Your Child. You're a parent now. Don't let your kid get shot.
Jesus.
You guys don't give away the top five of this list.
Top five lessons learned from this movie? Vince. Yeah.
You know. So then we introduced to Rick Moranis and his wife.
Right. So Rick Moranis, and I don't remember their relationship.
She's the sister of the...
She's also Steve Martin's sister?
Yeah, isn't she? She's
so
the
they're
sister?
Both sisters and then the other shitty brother?
Yes. Okay. Because he had four kids.
That makes sense, yes.
He has four kids.
Sorry. Rick Moranis is like helicopter parents.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Epitome.
Oh yeah,
just helicopter parenting. It is insane.
He's going to make sure that his like 3-year-old daughter is in Harvard by the time she's 12.
Right.
To be fair, that 3-year-old daughter is smarter than anybody else in this fucking movie.
Oh, smarter than me, sure.
Yeah,
but slightly creepy.
Yeah.
No, she's like a fucking like Children of the Corn shining child.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And but he's teaching all this stuff, and then his wife doesn't like it. So what does she do instead of sitting down and having a heart-to-heart with him?
She sneaks cupcakes.
Yeah, she just stuffs her face full of Twinkies
when
he's not
looking.
Starts poking
holes in her diaphragm, which...
Because...
To me, that's...
A baby solves things.
That's
right. Yeah. She can't communicate with her husband, so let's just have
another baby.
Yep.
Because everything was great when we first had that baby.
That's right. It must have been.
Yeah, and it stays like that forever.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll get to that, because that's kind of
the marriage baby.
That's kind of the end result of this movie, but... Not to get too serious, but that's some serious deal breaker. Like, she ends up leaving him later in the movie, but seriously, poking holes in your diaphragm, that is some, like,
that's
a deal breaker.
Some psycho shit. Yeah, that's insane. Fucking, yeah, definitely.
Hand the rock the cradle. Like, that is some...
It's just
not
dishonesty,
okay.
Right? And so, like, that just...
But it's beyond... Like, dishonesty... When you say dishonesty to me, that means, like, oh, like, no,
I didn't tell you that I stopped and ate food on the
exactly.
way home.
Exactly. Or like, yeah, I broke my diet. Or like, oh, I didn't tell you that I spent $1,000 on this bullshit. It's not, we suddenly have this life-changing human being in our life that you weren't planning. Like, that is beyond.
But it's still dishonest. I mean, there's different levels of egregiousness of dishonesty.
Yes.
Because
no,
like,
you're
cheating,
right? You're
right.
Right, you're
the
right.
same thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like
yeah.
life-altering.
Oh, for sure.
But like, it just was in her character. Like you had mentioned earlier.
Wait,
like,
wait. Are you saying cheating's not okay?
It's dishonest, yeah.
Ooh,
all right.
Shit.
I mean, I always keep an ace up my sleeves when playing cards. I mean,
I got to rethink a few things in my life.
Yeah, yeah, we're talking about infidelity, folks.
Ah. Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast
all
where
right.
we solve your marriage.
Yes. I'm like, let's pause. I'm just going to help these guys out.
It's like a new therapy session is what this is.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like it just was in her kind of nature. So she works out and then she goes and eats cupcakes and then she can't talk to her husband. So she pokes holes in her diaphragm. Exactly. Like, yeah, really bizarre.
Constantly, like, just lying to
him. I mean, it is a consistent character trait. You're absolutely right about that. And in that way, it's good.
And there's a lot of that in this, actually.
Yeah, no, there is. And I actually, I mean, the part where she, like, is working out and then as soon as he leaves, she, like, sneaks the cupcake. That is legitimately both relatable and funny. Like, that's a legitimate, like, we've all done that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But then I think, again, not to get too deep, but then that, like, lends to the, like, plot that she doesn't feel supported. Because if she were, like, working out and then is like, I'm just going to enjoy this cupcake. And he should be like, sure, honey.
Yeah, all he cares about is just their daughter being smart. Like, that's all he gives a fuck
about. And he gives her no attention, no communication.
And also, we learned
later. Gotta give her that D.
That's right.
Yeah, she used to be
Ricky Moran all the time.
Yeah. Roadhead all the time.
Oh, yeah, she talks about Roadhead. That's right.
Very again, maybe a reason why watching this when I was like 10 years old, I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't use the term Roadhead, but she says, I give him oral.
She says oral,
on the highway.
Yeah. Like, pretty... Because he was so, like, stressed out and stuff. I just gave him some oral, help him out a little bit.
I would just lean over, like...
Yeah. And then it's a great shot of Rick Moranis coming in, and you're like, that's pretty hot. And then you see Rick Moranis, you're like, aw. Yeah.
But he's a key master, so, I mean...
That's true.
Right, yeah.
That's right. And he will shrink your children.
You know who else is a key master?
Our sponsors. Our sponsors.
It's People's Choice Video for providing the movie. You can go to People's Choice Video and rent this movie. And many other rom-coms and parenthood movies and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is definitely not a rom-com.
Not a rom-com, sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, dramedies. This is very. Yeah, this is actually kind of one of the original dramedies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Which is interesting. I mean, to get back to the movie, I mean, we'll get back to you, People's Choice Video. We love you. So this movie spawned two TV series.
Yeah.
One of which was very short-lived with very young Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
But the other one ran for, 5 years or something? And it was like a super heavy, like, my baby is dead.
Dead babies. It was a dead baby show.
It was a dead baby show.
Yeah, but very deep. Very serious.
It was very, like, serious. No, it was, like, very sad, we died in a fire. Like, it was all the tragedies of parenting. But this movie kind of rides the line.
Yeah, it does. It gets super serious later on.
But yeah, if you want dramedies, if you want comedies, if you want porn, if you want video games, new releases, old movies, classics, get yourself to People's Choice Video. Follow them on Facebook.
And then also Beer Geek Bakery.
Beer Geek Bakery.
I mean, she didn't give us any treats tonight.
But... Yeah, that bitch.
But she does have events where she gets local craft breweries and uses their beer into pastries. And then pairs them up. Delicious flights.
Yeah, delicious flights. Really good shit. Brownies. Rice Krispie Treats.
Blondies.
Pies. Yeah. Blondies. You name it. It's got craft beer in it. It's delicious. Yeah, Follow on Facebook and Instagram. Find out about all the amazing events all over Southern Arizona. And we thank both of our sponsors for their very good patronage and their very good product.
Cool. Anyway.
Why are you looking at me like I'm a fucking sellout?
Because you clearly sold out to both of our sponsors.
Yeah. That's what you do with sponsors. That's the whole idea of sponsors.
That's what sponsors do.
That's the literal definition of sponsors.
In the movie. There's also, we skipped over this part, which is a really good joke. And one of the things I remember the most as a kid is that they're having this big like dinner party. Everybody's there. Everybody just showed up. There's a shitload of people. And then the lights go out.
It's a great joke.
It is a great joke because then they're like, oh my God, the lights are out. Like, what's happening? Where's the flashlight?
Steve Martin goes to get a flashlight.
He's like, I think I got a flashlight. I got a flashlight. And then he turns it on. And he's like, what is this? Lights come back on. Vibrator.
Yep.
Huge vibrator.
Huge vibrator.
Very long vibrator.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it was like the Washington Monument level of vibrator.
And
they
were at his sister's house, the one who's a single mother. Yeah, so exactly. Clearly her vibrator.
Clearly, yes.
With her parents and all the children there.
And her reaction is actually pretty good. She's like, oh, God damn it. Like, it wasn't even like, what is that?
Yeah. And Steve Martin just loses it. He's just laughing.
Yeah, he's like, oh my God, it's great.
Yeah. And then the kids are just like, what is that? Ear cleaner?
Yeah.
It's a big ear cleaner. And then the grandma's like, yes, it is.
The grandma, by the way, still has a fucking show.
Very funny.
Great throughout the whole movie.
She was like 100 years old.
Yep.
She died after this movie.
Yep.
And she fucking knocks it out of the park.
She's so good.
I mean, rightly so. She has like all the wisdom and stuff like that. But she makes a couple of sex jokes. She does it one when they find out about the porn.
Oh, yeah. They walk in. So the single mom is looking in her son's room, Joaquin Phoenix's character, and she finds his porn, right? Yep. So yeah. She's watching it.
Well, and we should mention the reason she breaks in the first place is he wanted to go live with his dad. Called his dad. His dad was like, nah.
I got another family now.
Yeah, I'm busy. And so he smashes the shit out of the dad's dentist office. Yep. But he leaves behind his hammer so everyone knows who did it. So yeah, she's breaking in to like find out what the fuck's going on.
Yep, so she breaks in on the padlock on his door, which for like a 12-year-old boy. Yeah,
first of all, on his door.
Do not give your kid a padlock.
Don't let him padlock his own fucking door. No. Set boundaries. Why would you do that?
That's fair, but a padlock seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I would just take that door down at that point. You're like, you just don't have a door.
Yeah, you don't get to have a door anymore because you smashed some shit up.
Yeah.
See, parenting advice from non-parents.
From non-parents, yeah.
So right. She finds his porn stash. She's watching it, and her sister and the grandma come in. And they're like, just go to another room. Like, she's got to talk to her son about all this shit that's going on.
The porn is playing at the same time.
Oh, yeah. The porn is playing. Yeah. Yep.
And they're like, oh, the grandma.
What are you watching? Yeah.
And
then
like,
the grandma makes that great joke. Who's like, one of those men reminds me of your grandpa.
And I was like, big dick.
Yeah.
Grandpa had a big dick.
Porn star dick, apparently.
Yeah, porn star level cock. Yeah.
I'd not ever think I'd hear those words.
Grandpa had a porn star quality cock.
By that age, you're 100. What do you care?
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, that's the one thing. I hate getting old because it's a reminder of my inevitable death.
Of course.
Yeah. Which I don't ever want to die. But the one awesome thing about getting old is just no boundaries. Zero boundaries.
Yeah. Being like, I don't
whatever. Nobody cares.
Yeah. You can see all the dicks.
Yeah. You can do anything you want, and everyone's just going to be like, you can throw rocks at children, and people are like, oh, you shouldn't have been. We talked about that.
Don't go in that old man's yard. Yeah.
If I hit a young person with my cane, they can't hit me back. I'm old.
Jason Robards at one point where he's showing Cool, who's 5 years old, his car, and he's like, I used to get laid all the time in this car. And it's not that I was like, all right, he's just an old man. He doesn't give a fuck. It's like 65 years old and he's still working.
Yeah.
What does so he care?
And should we talk about, I don't know how we should finish up the movie. Should we talk about the individual storylines?
There's a lot of individual, and all of them are really at the heart of it is their relationships are in trouble.
Yes. So Steve Martin quits his job because his job fucking sucks and they keep passing him over for promotion.
There's a younger guy that's
and he finally loses it and is like, fuck you, I've worked so hard.
His oldest son is fucking terrible and loses his shit.
Yeah, his oldest son loses his shit constantly.
Gave me stress. He's also very like, bad. Legitimate stress.
Yeah, legitimate stress. He's also very bad at baseball.
ADHD or like anxiety problems.
He's got all of the above.
Super crazy anxiety.
All of the above. Yeah.
He just cries at the drop of a hat and freaks out and stuff. Yeah.
The other two kids, I mean, it's hard to tell.
They're wild, but
they're like three. Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis' wife's obviously lying to him a bunch of shit. She leaves him. Yeah. She leaves him. Out.
That's a huge problem for them, right?
Can we talk about how he gets her back, though?
Oh, yeah. We will. Okay,
here's the rom-com part of it.
It is. I mean, look. Andrea, I think you're on board. I know for a fact Emma, who couldn't be with us tonight, is on board. That Rick Moranis is like super charming and like
he's adorable.
Lovable.
He definitely is. Yeah, and what he does in this movie, too.
He's endearing, right? I think is a good way.
Yeah, it definitely is. And this next part in the plot where he wins her over and gets her back was great. Right?
You remember that?
Yeah, that was such a great plot and endearing character development.
But Vince, Andrea, talk about it.
Give
Andrea.
Me a guess, Vince. What do you think he does?
That's a fun game. Yes. What did he do? So she's
what
a
did
teacher.
He do to win her back?
Teacher. Yep,
she's a teacher. So what do you think he did to get her back?
I don't know.
It's going to be hard. It's like saying, like, guess the name of this dog.
Yeah, I mean, forget about the teacher for that.
I mean, but it's a rom-com.
Forget about the teacher thing. What can you do to get a woman back?
Just classic 1980s movie.
Big romantic gesture.
Yeah, that's what I say. Big romantic gesture of some sort.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he said I loved her at some point in a speech.
A speech or a what's another thing you could do? Speaking, but not speaking, but with your vocal cords.
Singing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Serenade. Nice. In her classroom.
In front of all the fucking high school kids. I was about to say he did something in the classroom, yeah. Too, but you told me not to think of schools.
In front of all the high school kids. And it's White a Bird Suddenly Appear, right? That song.
Yeah. Every time.
You are near. Yeah.
It is
good. It's a good song.
It is. It's a very good scene because he's so high strung and not like that at all. And
yeah, to have him leave his comforts, because obviously he's not a guy that likes to be outgoing in that way.
Yeah, and to put himself out there like that. Yeah, exactly. And also be cutesy and romantic is very much like by the books and all that stuff.
He's a fucking nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. And for him to do that, it's very
meaningful. He's inventing super cute. Ways to super shrink cute. The children.
Yeah.
Super cute.
It's I would say for me, it's the best moment of the movie.
Ooh.
And for a lot of people, I think. For Emma, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whenever Emma talks about this movie, that's the scene that she talks about.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
It's got to be the best moment of the movie because think about what Steve Martin goes through.
I mean, I think about that scene where Steve Martin imagines his kid shooting up a bunch of other people at the college, and I'm like, yes.
Oh, man.
I
mean,
that's what I think about.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about that a little. Like,
yeah. His oldest kid is, an emotional fucking wreck.
Yeah.
But he puts him in Little League, and then...
He's bad. He's bad at baseball.
But he's like, you know what? I'm going to coach. He's going to be good. And he imagines this, like, his kid graduating from college and giving the speech about thank God my dad put me in Little League because I was a rough kid and all that stuff. And then his kid fucking doesn't catch the baseball, freaks the fuck out. Yep. And he's like, why would you put me in baseball on second base? And then he imagines this kid shooting up a fucking college.
Yep.
The same college, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, again,
it was the same teacher. Yeah, it was a Howard. Yeah. Yep. Howard principal.
It was one of the Howards that was in there. And then
Clint Howard, by the way, also shows up in this scene.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Fucking love Clint Howard. If you listen to our podcast, you know how much we love Clint Howard.
Anything Clint Howard does, which is all Ron Howard.
Yeah, it's all just Ron Howard stuff.
He just shows up. Yeah.
Yeah, he shows up in all of them.
Was he not in Willow? I don't think Clint Howard is in Willow.
I bet you he was a fucking
monster Willow,
right? Or something like that. Yeah.
But if you had to recast Willow, who Clint Howard should have been? Should he have been Willow?
Mad Mardigan?
The baby? Could he have been the baby?
That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
I would love that.
The High Wizard.
I'm sorry, I just can't think about
anything
but
fucking
Willow. All
Willow
the time.
And Clint Howard. Yeah.
No, go on.
But yeah, so he imagines his son shooting up the school, and he's like on the megaphone, and he's singing him the diarrhea song.
Yeah,
trying to get him to come down, which is a weird scene.
Yeah, and then it cuts to the kid singing in the back, which we talked about while watching the movie.
That was
how fucking
song
weird is it that all of us sang a fucking song about diarrhea?
Like,
our entire childhood.
We knew so all funny. Those lyrics.
First of all, how did we know this song?
Because
second
it's hilarious.
Of all, why would we sing it? I mean, I guess you just answered it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
It's very
funny.
Yeah.
Hey, can someone sing this song to me before you get...
Come on, you know the song.
It's like when you're walking up the ladder and you're feeling something splatter diarrhea.
Oh, okay,
that was great.
You're feeling
that's
something
great.
Foam.
That's right.
Okay, I get it now. I'm like diarrhea. What are you?
Well, there's like baseball analogies too of the song. So like when you're sliding into first and you feel like you're gonna burst.
Yeah,
or
something
like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the diarrhea song.
Yep.
That song, by the way. It happens like four times in this fucking movie.
Yeah. Look, these kids,
they
poop,
like
they
diarrhea.
Throw up, they make a mess.
Well, I mean, the song is probably public domain.
Oh, yeah, that
so,
too.
So, like,
too,
you
yeah.
just sing more than 30 seconds
many,
of it.
Although, I have to imagine at some point, somebody had to write that song, right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that song didn't just spring into life.
No.
So, at some point, somebody sat down and was like, I got a real banger on my hand. And it was.
And
it was. That's the crazy thing.
Like,
yeah.
Sit down, guys. Like, wrap around this piano that I have.
Yeah, exactly. If you were in a room today with, like, Jay-Z, and you're like, no, I got this hot fucking track. It's about diarrhea.
Yeah.
Let me drop this.
Yeah.
The diarrhea or the song? Okay.
They would kick you out of the studio. And yet, that is one of the most popular songs of my childhood.
Or is it kind of like, what am I thinking of? Like those songs, you know, like...
Like the Raffi tapes or whatever, where it's like where wheels on the bus go round and round
and
stuff like
exactly.
that?
Like,
yeah,
exactly. Like, where did those come from? Like, they started off as stories,
maybe? It was just like tapes. They would make tapes that were like songs for little kids, kind of like Radio Disney.
Yeah.
And then people would just buy them to play the kids, and the kids sang them over and over again until you got pissed off and broke the tape in half. Because kids will do the same shit over and over again until you hate it.
That is an insane thing.
Yes. So much, yeah.
Yeah, what is... Okay, now we're getting into child psychology.
Yeah,
but
we
like,
don't, we
kids
can't.
Will watch the same movie
oh,
for
I would.
12 hours.
Non-stop.
Crazy loop, to me. Loop.
And fuck that shit. I
can't handle it.
No. I can't handle like driving the same route to work every day without being like, fuck this. I'm not an old man.
I'm not a robot.
I'm a rebel, goddammit.
Yeah.
I'm taking another way that's way out of my way, but still different.
I have extra gas money today.
I have a savings account and a car. I can go whichever way I want. You hear that, society?
So Steve Martin obviously has some problems with his dad.
Yeah.
Because he feels like he was abandoned all the time as a child and wasn't loved. And like the shitty fuck up son.
Yeah. Jason Robards' relationship thing is with his shitty fuck up son.
Right.
Who's a gambling addict. Who tries to sell his fucking awesome, like, old 1950s
car. Yeah, he has
a
1935, Ford, like, convertible. He tries to sell it, and you find out, oh, he's in debt with the mob for, like, $26,000, which, again, 1989 money means, like, $48
million. Yeah, adjusted for inflation.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah, exactly.
He does get to come home in the coolest fucking way that you can, which is a car, high-speed turns the corner and throws him out the fucking
door. Like, stuntman rolls out of the back seat. That
and then he's
great.
Like, hey, what's up, dad? Like, he just gets up and
he actually plays it really awesome because he's like, hey, what's up, dad? And they're like,
what the
fuck is
that? Going on?
He's like, oh, my friend just shot me off.
It's like, friends usually stop or at least slow down.
He's like, no. They like putting burlap sacks on my head.
Exactly.
Breaking my thumbs.
Breaking my fucking,
So he owes $26,000.
Yeah.
To the bookies, and he asked the dad for the money.
And the dad goes to Steve Martin, of all people. For advice. And Martin, understandably so, is sort of taken aback. He's like, first of all, anytime your father asks you for advice, that's a weird position.
That is a weird position.
But especially when you feel like you don't have a good relationship with your dad, and also that your dad doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fucking weird thing to happen.
I feel like that's the perfect moment, and Steve Martin kind of missed the opportunity, to be like, I'm going to tell you what you told me when I was 15. Get a fucking job.
Right.
Man up. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure. Although that scene is also, speaking of the whole dramedy thing, that scene's one of the most real, like, fucking heartbreaking scenes in the movie. Like, when the old man just kind of bares his soul and is like, first of all, he tells a story to Steve Martin about how he hated him when he was two because he thought he was going to die.
He thought he had polio.
And how that, for a week, that just destroyed his entire life.
Yeah, and how much hurt. And as somebody who just recently lost a fish, I got to tell you guys,
Jesus,
it's rough. I mean, you guys won't understand.
It's hard to come back from that. I understand.
And it's also the perfect moment in the movie that, you know, we have talked about of like, you don't have children until they're 18 and hopefully go to college.
He specifically says that.
Yeah, specifically talks about like, he's a mess.
But he's my
four
son.
Kids, it was terrible. He's 27 years old and he's still my son. Like, he's still going to take care of him. Which even if your kids don't end up being total fuck ups, like, you're still worried about them your whole life. Like, it's not 18 and I did my job.
Yeah,
and
it's
that's
just a
that.
Lifetime of stress. Yeah. But yeah, so
sounds
the,
fucking terrible, exactly. Guys. Oh, good choices all around.
Yeah, good job us for not having kids.
Yeah, right? Pat
Let's
on the back all around.
Let's keep the good times going.
So yeah, Grandpa decides to pay the debt. And then another super realistic scene, which I loved, which we called.
No, yeah, he sets it up real nice. He's like, all right, we're going to pay your bookies $1,000 a month, which they'll take it over nothing.
Yeah.
But you have to come work with me. And then when I retire, you're going to take over the business. And then the son is like, all right,
that sounds perfect. I'm in.
Except, wait a minute. I got a guy in Chile who's got a hot tip for me. What if I go down there for a couple months, figure shit out, then I'll come back and then we'll do this plan.
Yeah.
And then he's like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, he does.
Also, I need $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and he knows, because there's a really great scene later where he asks him, like, what about Cool? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like,
I shouldn't take
him. We can take him in. Yeah. And so then Cool ends up showing up and Grandpa, and he's like, so my dad went to Chile? Like,
I guess.
when is he coming back? Is he ever coming back? And the dad just straight up, nah.
Yeah, Jason Robards is like, he's not coming back.
Do you want to stay here? And the kid's like, well, I'm five, so.
I have no other options.
He's like, I don't know. I got a little shit going on.
Yeah.
I'm so busy right now.
Yeah. I don't want to get bogged down here.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to get, I don't want to commit to one thing.
Yeah.
Do one place. Lot of options right
There's
now.
A lot of things going on. I got a lot of people in a lot of places.
Exactly.
Make some calls first and we'll
yeah.
Yeah. Let me shoot a few texts.
It's like the
out.
Same answer. Yeah. He's like, what if I go roam around and then I'll come back? Exactly. And we'll do this plan.
If I can just get a couple of grams, a couple months, let me think
just
about it.
He's like, God damn it, these kids. So that's the end of that relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Martin's relationship.
So after he's quit his job and is sort of lost it about the kids, like the kids have just become his living nightmare.
He's having a breakdown.
He's having an understandable breakdown.
Yes.
Yeah.
His wife, Mary Sturgenberg. Yeah. I always mispronounce her name. Yeah, I'm very so sorry. You know, Back to Future 3.
Steenburgen?
Again, yeah. I always mispronounce her name. I'm so sorry. She's
currently on
she's
Last
great.
Man on Earth.
Yeah, yeah, she's great in that. She's great in
80s and
90s. She's great
mom.
In everything.
She's the 80s and 90s mom across the board.
Yeah.
She played that part.
She's so good.
Yeah.
But anyways, she announces, hey, by the way, PT Dubs.
Pregnant.
Yeah.
Baby number
inside,
four.
Number four.
And then he like freaks the fuck out. He's like, I don't even know what the fuck we're doing now.
Yeah.
Understandably, yeah.
Yeah.
So this, and maybe the guys didn't pick up on this, but, well, you guys did pick up on the fact that she hadn't told him right away, right? Because he was like, how long have you known? She's like, well, I just wanted to be sure. And you're like, that's your husband. Like, you should be like, hey, I'm taking a pregnancy test because I think maybe there's a bun
yeah,
in the
this
oven.
Isn't
like
you hooked up with a dude and then before you fucking call him again.
Right.
Like, you no, find out.
Yeah,
like,
your
this
husband.
Is your husband.
And you've known for a while.
And right. I thought it was interesting because when the dad agrees to the $1,000 a month for his fuck up kid, the wife is also nowhere around.
Nope.
And I think that that's like, really, you see that a lot in like 80s and 90s, like sitcoms
yeah,
and like relationships
true.
Of like, oh, it's fine. We won't tell dad. Ha ha ha. I'm like, that is just so unhealthy.
Don't tell your dad that we're doing this huge fucking life-changing event.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I connected that because I thought it was very reminiscent of like, in comedies or dramedies or whatever it is, like it was just a pattern, and now we're like, we should communicate.
So we should hit up. So there's a couple of other kids on the way. We find out.
Oh, Keanu Reeves and what's her name?
Keanu Reeves and weird looking McGee.
Martha Plimpton.
Yeah, Martha Plimpton. Also cool name. Or weird name, I should say. Martha
Not
Plimpton.
Cool, but
yeah,
weird name, weird face.
1920s actress Martha Plimpton, because that's exactly. What her fucking name sounds like.
She's pregnant with Keanu Reeves' kid. Keanu Reeves,
as
by the
teenager.
Way, becomes the father slash best friend slash big brother to
Joaquin
Phoenix.
And lets him become his mechanic on his super dangerous
Which
car racing.
Which may explain the reason why he crashes the first time he tries to race a car.
Vince, there's a scene where he gets in his car and he's like, how does everything look? And he looks over and it pans over to 12-year-old Joaquin Phoenix. And like, it looks great.
And
immediately crashes.
Doesn't he have a cigarette in his hand?
No, I said it'd be cool if he had a cigarette.
Oh,
but he's,
I thought
he's wearing
he did.
Like the mechanic's jumpsuit.
And it was like, yeah, he had like the mechanic's jumpsuit and the hat and stuff. He might as well have had a cigarette.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, no, everything looks tip top. And then he immediately crashes a fucking car because his mechanic is 12 years old and jerking off all the time.
It is really funny. The scene where, so after Joaquin Phoenix gets caught with the pornography, the mom doesn't know what to fucking do. So she calls Keanu Reeves in because he's the only man in her fucking life, basically.
That he'll trust, yeah.
So she's like, can you talk to him? Just talk to him, see what's going on. And fucking Keanu Reeves comes out. He's just like, yeah, dude, just thought he was weird. But I told him, like, no, we all jerk it. Like, basically, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. No, at first he's like, can I be like, open with you? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, that's one messed up little kid.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, so, he started it a couple months ago, and now
he's
trying
first
to set
boner. Do you know what that is? So like, you're talking to a grown woman that has two kids. She
and
knows
now
what a boner
he's
is.
He's trying to set some sort of record.
Which made me almost be like, way to go, Joaquin Phoenix.
Right?
Yeah.
And raw.
Yeah. you will lose some skin. So. Yeah.
You will have to take a break. Yeah,
let's
at some point,
get some lotion or something.
You do it enough, you got to take a break.
Yeah, you
can
some rest.
You'll be like, all right, this is hurting.
You get sores. Yeah.
Is that a hard lesson learned as a
pre-pubescent
boy?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've all had sores on our dicks. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I mean, we've a lot of jerking off. But yeah, no, I've had to be like, all right, that's it. I got to stop for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there's still like a lot of my left hand fighting my right hand.
Yeah. There's that moment where you're getting hard, but then you go and you're like, oh, that hurts.
Pull back. Hold on.
Yeah. Maybe eight times in one day. Maybe
too much.
Maybe too much. Bring it back a little bit.
Bring back. My parents shouldn't have left me home alone that day.
Yeah, yeah.
All day. That's the first thing I thought of.
That's right.
I get to jerk off as much as I want.
Yeah. Free reign.
So Keanu Reeves and his wife, we find out.
They're pregnant.
And then finally, Rick Moranis and his estranged, now back together wife, pregnant.
For some reason, poking the fucking holes in the diaphragm made her pregnant.
Yeah. I don't know how that worked.
I don't know how that happened. But it happened.
Fucked up.
That's, I think, and you pointed this out, that's the biggest problem with this movie.
Yes.
It ends with everybody's in the hospital, happy.
Which, with a surprise pregnancy, Vince, guess who the surprise pregnancy is?
There's like 40 characters. I don't
know. Yeah, I don't know. I can't even keep track of it. Yeah.
Was it Cools? Was it Cool?
Well, his name was Cool.
Yeah, it must
be. Clearly, he was cool enough to get a chick pregnant.
At 5 years old. Yeah. No, so the sister mom, Diane Wiest.
Yeah, Diane Wiest.
Who started dating this like guy that had kind of been asking her for a while.
He's a teacher.
Yeah,
he's a little...
This pudgy, nerdy dude.
He's not super funny, young. Though. He's kind of fun, though.
It also looks like
and
it's
she's
Steve
also,
Martin.
She's 45. Probably shouldn't be having more kids.
I mean, it becomes more dangerous as you get older.
Yeah.
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 But it ends in the hospital with
it works out.
With either small babies or pregnant.
And everyone's happy.
And everybody's relationship fixed.
And we should mention, before we get to us damnating's not a word, but damning that final scene because it's very bad and sends a very dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
There is I think the core of the movie, again, to go back to the grandma. She's talking to Steve Martin and Mary's name I can't pronounce.
Steenbergen.
And talks about going on a roller coaster and how it was scary and it was crazy and it was exciting and she hated it, but she loved it.
The ups and the downs. Ups and all that stuff. Well, when the people that used to just
other
go
people
on to the
just
merry-go-round.
Wanted the merry-go-round, but no. For her, you had to have the highs and the lows of that roller coaster. And she's obviously talking about being a parent versus being single.
At first I thought she was just talking about being married. Because
and at first
like
I thought she was talking
thing.
About fucking.
Yeah, yeah,
she was talking
true.
About going
which
up
is
and
like
down.
Your grandfather
on
took
that
me on a roller coaster.
Dick. Yeah, exactly. All, every night.
I just there went up a lot and down, of highs.
But yeah, I mean, you could use that metaphor for anything. But clearly, she's talking about like parenting and
yeah,
all that cause stuff.
Yeah, because she knows that Steve Martin's kind of losing it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then it also has that scene with the play goes crazy.
Oh, yeah. The play goes crazy and he looks like he's about to lose his shit
and then he just laughs.
He just laughs. Yeah. And there's also the scene where he dresses up like a cowboy for his kid's birthday party.
Pulls a horse out of his
and
ass.
Somehow gets a fucking horse out of fucking nowhere. Gets a horse.
Thin air.
There's also a very funny scene where he's expecting this cowboy to show up and a stripper shows up, which pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
She's like, what's the name of
if
the,
I was
the birthday boy's name? Because I read it around my breast.
Yeah, if I was an 8-year-old having a birthday.
That would be.
That's a
yeah,
birthday.
Yeah, that's the birthday you awesome. Want. It's the stripper showing
but
up.
But not that kid. He would have a mental
breakdown. Because he does. Immediately when she's like, sorry, Cowboy Dan's not coming because he showed up at the lodge and they beat him half to death.
Yeah.
And he's like, Cowboy Dan is not coming. Like, immediately he's losing his fucking
shit. Yeah.
Oh, he's terrible. That kid is fucking awesome.
That kid sucks.
But yeah, at the end. Is really the babies solve all the relationships.
Yep.
Right. And that fucking sucks.
That yeah.
And it's not true.
Sucks.
And it's not true and it's temporary. Everybody loves babies temporarily.
Exactly.
But nobody was offering to like take care or babysit of all these little asshole kids that like are overly emotional or running into walls or watching porn. Like, by the time they get to that age, like nobody wants to deal with them.
Why is it in the beginning of the movie, everybody's life is a fucking living hell? And then by the end, everybody has a baby, so everybody forgot that the beginning of the movie, everybody's life was fucking hell.
Yeah.
And that's coincidentally, that's what it is to have a fix a marriage baby.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. It's just to be like, no, this baby's going to solve all of our problems. Because remember how happy we were when the baby was here?
Yep.
And that takes all your attention and focus until then it doesn't.
Until it doesn't.
Yeah. Until God of War comes out and you're like, I don't want to take care of the baby.
I want to play
God of War. I got a war to play.
Yeah, you just hear him yelling boy every few minutes, yelling at his child. So maybe the wrong game.
Yeah,
maybe the wrong game, because it is all about father and son relationships.
Yeah.
But
also killing stuff.
But also killing stuff. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Call of Duty, whatever, you know.
You're like much more of a father to the fucking to God the of War. Yeah.
You're like, I got to keep him alive.
That's the Sims issue, where you're sitting in like a dirty house. Oh, I got to make sure my Sim cleans up the house. Yeah, I could just do the dishes, but
what did I talk about touching my PS4? Do not touch my fucking PS4. I got a word to play, kid.
Yeah, right. Not smack.
Go outside. Get out of my sight.
Yep.
And then there's also the like syndrome of like, I'm really glad I worked 60 hours a week to save money to take you to fucking Disneyland once a year.
So you can whine like a fucking bitch.
And I can carry you for six out of the 12 hours. God. And use all of my vacation time for this bullshit.
For this super expensive. Yeah. Don't have kids.
Don't have kids. Yeah. And if you do, don't have kids to save your marriage.
Look how happy we are without kids.
Hey, babe, just FYI, we're in huge credit debt because I spend a lot on hookers. Do you have a child? Do you have a child?
It'll save things.
It'll save things.
Yeah, we'll feel better.
Everything will be fine.
No, I just saw your kidneys.
Yeah, that's true. They can bring in quite a bit of money.
Yep.
I mean, a healthy baby could bring in more.
Good point.
A healthy white baby.
Light skin.
Yeah, that's true. Light skin
baby. Was there a post-credit scene in this movie about selling children?
Maybe? Hold on. So you've not seen this movie, but you've heard us describe it, and you are a Marvel fan. What is the post-credit movie, the sequence to this movie?
The stinger
to this movie that definitely exists, Vince.
post-credit scene. Let's see, it's like, you see all the babies like getting like in the hospital, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And one of the older by however many times says, I'm putting a team together here.
Nice, I like it.
I hear you have a Hulk problem.
Yeah. One of the babies pulls up his hand and has a fucking gauntlet on it.
Right.
So that's, I mean, this is where we go into how you fix this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that first of all fixes
the movie.
Right. Gauntlet babies.
Yeah.
Infinity
Avenger
Stones.
Babies.
Yeah, Avenger babies.
the whole time.
Steve Martin's baby is what? Hawkeye? I don't know.
Yeah, we see, I mean, there's a lot of father-son issues in all the Avenger movies.
That's true. And all the characters. Yeah,
and all the characters. But I would like to see them as infants.
Sure. I mean, Avengers babies.
Yeah, like Muppet babies?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the X-Men babies was a real thing. So why not Avengers babies?
X-Men babies was
a
thing,
that's true.
You do? So it's just stock footage
in
the background, weird voices, characters that did not exist in the actual
fucking
universe.
Here's the question. Do you take actual babies and just dress them up as the characters, or do you take like Chris Evans's and like Chris Hemsworth?
Their
and
head?
Chris Pines and...
Chris Pratt
and
all the Chris's.
Every other Chris.
All the Chris's in the galaxy.
Take their heads and put them on baby bodies?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, I would definitely do that.
Oh,
yes. That would definitely be the winner.
Yeah. That's very good.
By the way, I had this idea for a costume that I kind of still want to put together, which is
Wasn't a baby with a Chris Hemsworth's head?
It's taking
a little baby pee-pee
baby costumes? I mean, that's any time that I take a shower. That's just baby wiener.
Oh, hilarious.
And then like I shave, so even more so.
Great.
We know too much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to take like all these little kid Avenger costumes and then put like make my arm be Captain America, my one arm, my left arm be Thor.
So like the if you ever read the comics back in the 90s, you remember Combos, the snack Combos?
Oh yeah.
They had Combos ads that were exactly what you're describing.
Yeah, and like 1 foot be like the Hulk. And then the other foot being
like Iron Man.
Yeah. And then maybe the chest be Iron Man because of the gold.
Yeah, sure. And then you have like Vision's head
that. And then it'll just be the Avengers in one human body. It's like Muppet Man, but
like,
the Avengers.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or Amazo.
Or what was it called when the Power Rangers got together?
A Megazord?
Yeah, Megazord.
Yeah.
Again, I was 1 year too old.
You just were much one, yeah. Sure.
For Power Rangers, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because of that 12 months.
Yep. Right.
So anyway.
I think we fixed this movie.
I think we did.
Avengers Babies.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right, so next week, I believe, is Stir Crazy, Richard Pryor, Gene Wilder.
Oh, that's going to be good.
That's going to be very good.
Good, yeah.
Thanks for listening, and thank you, Duncans.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's the narration and the story you guys told makes me really stress out about having children.
Having listened to this podcast, Vince, do you feel like you have seen this movie?
Absolutely
sure,
not.
Sure, yeah. I've seen something. I don't know if it's this movie.
I'd like to see what you see in your head happen in this
just
movie. Because we were all over the place.
And baby Avengers.
Yeah. Singing Rick Moranis. Yeah. Just shooting up schools.
Yeah.
This movie's all over the place.
Out of context. This is a fucking frightful movie.
It's more of a drama, like horror movie to me at this point. But
it's the Get Out of 1989.
Yeah, it really kind of is.
Yeah.
Don't be these people.
No. Andrea, Vince, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with more crazy action.
We'll have you guys back on soon.
Yeah, definitely.
We'd love to. Thank you.
Love being on here.
Any last thoughts?
Don't have kids.
Only have them if you want them.
Yeah. This was a movie.
Rethink.
This was, in fact, a movie.
Rethink your decisions, people.
All right.
Until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
I'm Vincent Duncan.
I'm Andrea Duncan.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia, wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.
Bye. What would I do if I didn't have you? I love to see you smile. I love to see you smile.